Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, July 24th, 2012. I'm Mary Sherman. We're covering five stories today, including a call to action to increase the minimum wage in Connecticut and ramped up efforts to protect a Florida river. Our top story, few states have the same kind of deep pockets of both rich and poor as Connecticut, and that's one reason unions, low-wage workers, and advocates will converge on the state capitol today, calling for Congress to take action to increase the minimum wage. Mike Clifford reports.
Kurt Westby, the Connecticut State Director of 32BJ, the Service Employees International Union, says the current minimum wage is so low that workers with families are living below the poverty line. He says just imagine being a minimum wage worker in Connecticut, which is home to communities with some of the greatest wealth in the nation.
Folks who are making minimum wage and slightly above who have to work two, three jobs. Many who can't even work those two, three jobs because they've been thrown out of work because of the recession.
Westby says hourly workers currently make $8.25 in Connecticut. He says raising the minimum wage to $10 would put an average of $100 more in the pockets of those workers every week. Westby says the protest will call attention to several companies in Connecticut which have a long record of enacting policies which enrich shareholders at the expense of workers. He says there are plenty of copycats from coast to coast.
A lot of contract cleaning, contract security companies find ways to lower wages, to not hire workers, with the goal of reducing costs and eliminating benefits. That's a bad model for our society.
Westby says we all feel the consequences when minimum wage workers can't provide the kinds of things most American families need to succeed.
Not having any extra expendable money for things like daycare, preschool, post-school, anything like that, let alone insurance. So the disparity between rich and poor is the most magnified in the state of Connecticut.
The minimum wage has been raised three times in 30 years, while executive pay by large firms increased by 23% last year, according to Equilar. The most recent bill to raise the minimum wage, H.R. 5901, was introduced last month.
That report from Mike Clifford. Efforts to protect a Florida river and the wildlife and people who live around it are ramping up. Stephanie Carson has the story.
On Monday, environmental groups sued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for what they say are repeated violations of water protection laws on the Caloosahatchee River. They want the Corps to release water from Lake Okeechobee into the Caloosahatchee to maintain the health of the waterway. Manly Fuller is president of the Florida Wildlife Federation, one of the groups filing the lawsuit.
We're not talking about massive amounts of water here. We're talking about something that would just have a minute effect on any other user. We don't think that this will hurt anybody.
The water from Lake Okeechobee is used to irrigate 500,000 acres of sugarcane fields. Fuller says there is plenty of water for both the river and agriculture. Currently, the Caloosahatchee River has multiple environmental problems, including a slimy green algae that's reportedly causing health problems for the people living on the river and the wildlife that live in the waters. There have been multiple requests to the Corps to release water into the Caloosahatchee, but up to this point, there has been no change. Andrew McElwain is president of the Conservancy of Southwest Florida, a second group filing the lawsuit. He says neglecting the river impacts more than just wildlife.
There has been a tendency to neglect the water needs of nature to the preferment of human needs, but that ignores the fact that nature is what really is so important to the economy of the region.
The Caloosahatchee is officially designated as a public drinking water source, but one of Lee County's drinking water plants has repeatedly had to shut down because the water is unfit to drink. Glades, Hendry, and Lee County public health departments have had to issue multiple warnings asking people not to come in contact with the river. For the Public News Service, this is Stephanie Carson.
The U.S. is adding an extra $150 million to the global AIDS fight, taking a first step toward reaching some stigmatized populations. At the International AIDS Conference Monday, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton said the U.S. is committed and will remain committed to achieving an AIDS-free generation. That means a focus on populations at especially high risk, gay and bisexual men, sex workers, and injecting drug users. Some 34.2 million people worldwide are living with HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, and 2.5 million were infected last year. A story out of our West Virginia Bureau. With Appalachian coal production down, more policymakers are looking at setting aside a portion of severance taxes and a future fund to help coalfield communities adjust. More from Dan Hyman.
Senator Jay Rockefeller says the state urgently needs to diversify, and one good step is a future fund supported by severance taxes. Rockefeller wants to bring more manufacturing to southern West Virginia and says a future fund could help. Or, he says, it could research ways to make coal itself more viable.
The future can be manufacturing, or the future can be clean coal. Not just alternative economic development, but it also could go to research on the technology which could make coal cleaner.
Many coal seams in West Virginia are thinning out, and many utilities are replacing coal with cheap natural gas. According to a new report from the Central Appalachian Regional Network, states here could have tens of millions of dollars a year to invest in diversifying their economies if they set aside just 1% of severance tax revenues. Co-author Roy Silvers says the future fund could let the principal build up untouched while states spend the interest. He says that way the states get the benefit of the natural resource even after it's gone.
You draw down on the interest and the principal remains there even beyond the time where, let's say, there's no coal being produced in an area.
Silver says if West Virginia put 1% of severance tax revenue in the future fund, fairly quickly millions of dollars would be available for things like workforce retraining in communities hit by the low demand for coal.
The state legislature voted to study the future fund during the last session. Sitting in front of a computer or TV screen late into the night, or leaving it on when you fall asleep, could increase your chances of becoming depressed. That's according to a study by U.S. scientists. The research by a team of neuroscientists at Ohio State University Medical Center, partly funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, will give screen-addicted night owls pause for thought. The researchers said a surge in exposure to artificial light at night in the last 50 years had coincided with rising rates of depression, particularly among women, who are twice as prone as men. But the good news is some of the harmful effects can be reversed by just going back to a regular light-dark cycle and minimizing their exposure to artificial light at night. I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.